Jim Mallard here, host of the Mallard Report. Before we begin, I gotta remind you the views and opinions expressed on the show are solely of those of the host and guests. Do not necessarily reflect Evergreen Podcast, Killer Podcast, any sponsors, affiliates, or anybody else. The Mallard Report is recorded live in front of a live virtual audience on the Duck Pond. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. Good evening, everybody. I'm excited to be here with my guest, Christopher Macklin. Chris, how are you doing tonight? We were just chatting a little bit, so I kind of know, but I still have to ask again for everybody else to know.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on the show. Bless your heart. Wonderful to be here.
Well, we'll see if you still feel that way in an hour. How's that sound?
I'm sure I will. Bless your heart.
So go ahead and give me the thumbnail sketch of your bio, because you've got a lot of irons in the fire, and I don't feel like I can properly do you justice.
Well, the bio is, spent years in, corporate industry. Couldn't stand it for 1 minute, but spent 20-odd years in it, and then suddenly went bankrupt. I had a lot of gifts when I was young. I saw reptilians and different entities, in different dimensions. And I remember when I was four, I had one in my bedroom. Dad, there's a reptilian in the corner. And he comes running up. What is it? Oh, it's just a bad dream. Don't worry about it. But it's there. It's watching me, So I learned to manage them really young. And anyway, life moves on, go bankrupt. And then spent about 4 years in complete meditation, understanding a lot of things, including where I'm from, what I'm meant to be doing, and really focusing on healing gifts. But and then, life moves on, came over here, and we started a ministry, a non-for-profit, doing healings, and now we call it the Global Enlightenment Project, which is part of the ministry. It's very successful. Well, it takes time.
I love how you just summed it up in 60 seconds, but there's a lot to unpack there. So now we're going to get into it. Now tell me about, how much of this do you remember from when you were young, when you were four and you seen the reptilian in your room?
Oh, clear as day. I remember it because it's interesting when you get these reptilians, they're interdimensional entities. It was an Anunnaki. It was about 10'7" thing. It looks like a velociraptor watching you. You can feel this dark feeling in your chest. Think, wow, this thing's dark, and that's what bothered me a lot. And of course, I realized very quickly in the age of four that my father couldn't see it, so I either manage it myself or don't know what's going to happen. So I got all this with all my might. When he'd gone downstairs, having said, oh, I can't see it, I said, okay, right, get out of my bedroom, and the thing left. Like, oh, well, that works. But, I said it with all my might, this massive intention, like, get out of my bedroom, because it didn't feel right, and I saw saucers and different things in the sky. No one could see those either, and I thought, maybe I'm going mad, and then I realized that I actually have a gift that other people don't have. Everyone's got different gifts, we all have gifts. But, so I learned to manage it myself, and just didn't really tell anybody about it, because otherwise they're going to probably send you a psychiatrist, put you on some very heavy medication to, block it out, and you're good to go. And that's not cricket.
I was going to say, so you were seeing these things, but you had to keep them mostly to yourself because your father didn't see them?
Yeah, and then, that went all my life. I mean, my father's a bit of a crabby old shit, so, he's one of these people who will berate you, and, one of the things I found at school is that, I've got severe dyslexia, so, of course, when you're in England, go to schools, you have to be able to spell and read properly. Well, that's not me, so... But I could do maths, amazingly. I could do the first, second, and top groups of maths in the time that, they'd done one question, but, when it came to English, no chance, and I'm still got dyslexia. And, I've learned to manage it. Mandy, my wife, said to me one day, she said, why the heck are you trying to read? Because it frustrates you. You can't read the sentences because you miss words out and then it sounds like a two-year-old. Why don't you let me read to you? And I thought, yeah, I channel more now. I channel things. So you're probably going to say, well, how the heck do you write five books?
I was going to get there. I guess writing isn't reading. Okay, yeah, there's that.
Well, I actually used Skype, had a headset, walked around the parking lot, you know, channeled it, you know, and basically it was channeled to the point where, you know, I could dictate it, and, you know, to a ghostwriter. So, well, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by that? What do you mean by the other? And little by little, you know, they pull the information out of you. I'm not very good. If I just sat there and said, okay, you've got to write a book, and, you know, I tried it, you know. Where do we start? It's all gone. So I tried Dragon Naturally Speaking. So when you're talking about Zeta Grays, it came up with Have a Nice Day and all this nonsense. that was no good either. So I've got ghostwriters. So you need people to help you. You know, if it's not your gift, don't try and do it. You know, just get other people to, you know, to help you through it. You know, that's really important.
As I say, that's my favorite paranormal joke of all time. I just need a ghostwriter.
Yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, you know, if you can channel information, they create the interface, I think, between what I understand and what the people outside can understand. You know, they create that interface, which I think is really good, because if I did it, it would just be a whole slew of, you know, oh, what does he mean by this? And so it's really good.
So let's not fast forward too fast. So you make it through school, I assume, here, right?
Oh, yeah, I made it through school, yeah. And my father said, well, you're too thick to get a degree, so I decided I'm going to get one of those. So I got a degree in electronics and software systems, got a master's in control and engineering, flight control systems, did those for a few years. Didn't enjoy it at all because it wasn't my deal. You know, I don't work well in corporate systems because they're just full of, you know, nonsense, really, as you probably call it. So I didn't sit well in it, you know, but I was very good at project management because I think I'm very good with people. So that was one of the gifts I had. So I did very well with that, you know. But as far as working in a corporate system, I just don't gel in corporations at all, you know.
So, pardon the lazy phrase, but when did the switch flip for you from corporate world to more spiritual based stuff?
Well, I did really well, you know. I was building houses and doing things, and then, in my wisdom, decided to build 172 apartments in Manchester. Oh, big mistake. So anyway, we got so far with it, bought the land, started building, and then the bank phoned up and said, you know, these apartments that are worth like £220,000, they're now worth 90. We want our money back, and you've got 14 days to pay it. Now, this is millions of pounds we're talking about. So, I remember saying to the bank, well, I've got £10. Will that help? That was a no. So I went completely bankrupt. Marriage split up. Everything changed. Then I was semi-homeless. You know, I lived out of a car quite a long time, for about 2 or 3 years. Did lots of meditation, stayed with people, lived out of the car. And then eventually I managed to get the government to get me a kind of flat where I could actually meditate, you know, probably 6 to 8 hours a day, understanding the gifts. And it all took off from there. You know, I knew I had gifts, but this gave me the opportunity, without worrying about money, because I didn't have any, to just really focus on the gifts, and it was brilliant. It really was brilliant.
Had to been I don't want to say adventure in the good sense of the word, but I'm sure it obviously changed your whole life going through all that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it actually makes you. I mean, I was so embarrassed. You know, when I first went bankrupt, someone lent me a flat in Manchester, you know, an apartment, for about 4 weeks. So, well, you can stay here for 4 weeks. And so I stayed there 4 weeks. I had a Bentley at the time, and I was so embarrassed. I didn't have enough money to put gas in the Bentley. I thought, can you come and repossess it? This is getting embarrassing. But it did teach me a lot about stuff. You know, you don't need these things. A Bentley is just a very expensive bit of tin on wheels. You know, now I have a Chevy truck, and I'm very happy with it. So, you know, it taught you a lot about stuff, that stuff doesn't matter. It's about people. It's about helping. And, you know, understood the lineage I've came from, the Melchizedek beings, of which there's five of us here. And, you know, we're here to help humanity, not to worry about bits of stuff, you know. So, and now we dedicate our lives to it, you know. Running this ministry is a way of life, because we work probably on about, I don't know, 30,000 people a week. If you look at YouTube, you know, and look at Facebook, and I do 3 healings a week where it's by donation. If you have no money, you know, come on, because I've been there, got the T-shirt on that one. And I think it's always important that everyone gets healing.
Well, I'm going to jump back into that, but I've got to. I don't want to say bridge the gap because I think we've got to cross the pond here now, right? You've on your flat in London, right in the UK there, meditating 6-8 hours a day, and then you end up here. So fill in some gaps here.
Yeah, so I met this lady in Belize. I went to Belize to do some healing and different things, and met this lady from Hollister, just outside Branson, Missouri. She said, oh, come and stay with my father and myself, you know, for a few weeks. So I did, and then got to know a team of people here, and then kind of met my wife, and we got married about 5 years ago. And, you know, we set up the Global Enlightenment Project because I wanted to create a non-for-profit, so when people make donations, they can get, you know, tax back on it. But also to, you know, to move forward with a project of enlightenment, really. Help people get enlightened because, you know, getting enlightened is not easy because, you know, when people first come to a reality that, hang on, things aren't quite right in the world, well, you're not kidding. And, you know, people often say to me that there must be something that's not manipulated. And, let me see. That would be nothing. Everything's manipulated. And so when you come to that reality, it's a big pill to swallow. And a lot of people get a lot of emotion with it and anger, you know, mixed emotions. When they get through that, they become really strong. But, you know, the healing, you know, they do need healing to help them release emotions from the old life that they were in to get to the new one. So it's quite a transition. And, so I came over here, opened the Global Enlightenment Project, and now we work on a lot of people per week, helping people, you know, get back to that sovereign place, you know. I don't believe in gurus. It's all a pile of nonsense anymore. You are your own guru. You are your own sovereign being. I'm just a facilitator, really, to help people get back to that, you know?
Yeah. So you told me, was that 14 years ago you've been here, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I came here 14 years ago and then stayed, and now we have citizenship, and so I love it here, actually. I'd never want to go back to England. No offense to the British people, but, you know, and I was British. I'm now American, but I just don't speak American.
Not yet, anyways. We'll convert you slowly.
I'm working on it. I always remember being in front of the immigration. He said, "Is there anything that couldn't make you American?" Oh no! And he goes, "What's that?" You know. I said, "I can't give up afternoon tea." And he rolled about laughing. He thought it was really funny.
So, tell me a little bit more about what you've doing. I mean, you said you do the free online or 3 times a week online healings, right? When are those? And give me some more about those. I mean, you kind of put some out there, but let's put a little bit more, make sure we get that all cleaned up before we forget about it.
Yeah. So we do healing 3 times a week. We do it Monday, 9 o'clock Central Time, Thursday, 5 p.m. Central Time, which is tomorrow, and Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time. We have something like, 35,000 people listening to them over the period of a few days. So, it touches a lot of hearts, and that's really important to me. And it's by donation. You know, a lot of people don't have any money, but they come on. Because the whole point about it, if you're lacking in money, you might have a lack of, you know, in a powerless place. And these healings really help by releasing emotion, getting your vibration up. It helps you get back to that sovereign, you know, warrior that we need on this planet to be able to move through all these manipulations that are going on.
So, okay. And that's a Global Enlightenment.
Global Enlightenment. Project.
You know. If I could read my own notes, this show would probably go a lot better. I still hand write them, and people are like, "Well, you should type them." And I'm having that moment right now. If I would have typed it, I could have read that. But
that would be me. Yeah, I can't read my own writing either. So you can join the club. Bless your heart.
It's just, you know, there's something about the writing them makes it sink better in my memory, so I don't have to look at them as nearly as much. But when it comes to technical things that I need to be able to pull up and accurately give, not necessarily the best idea. So,
well, it's very true. I mean, if people handwrite you a letter, you know, you're more likely to read it and really ingest it because, you know, the formation of the letters and everything has energy around it. When you send someone an email, the interface between, you know, you type it on the computer, and by the time it's got to the other end, the energy's really, kind of subsided from the thing, you know, and I think it's really important, handwriting.
And I know that we're talking about healing, and this kind of falls in that same vein of losing the personal touch with people, and we're right out that neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's gone with, well, a lot. It's gone with social media and people looking at their phones all the time. It's been a massive distraction. You know, it saddens me, actually, because social media, I don't like social media at all, about you, but I don't go on it to do any personal things. We just use it for the ministry. But, you know, personally, I don't post anything on it, except maybe one wife's birthday and a couple of things, and that's it, you know, because I like to phone people up and talk to them, or I like to go around to their house and have a glass of wine with them, or, and commune. You know, I don't like communing over Facebook. It's just not me, you know, so.
I'm in between. I like being in person, but there's that just instant gratification of being able to talk to whoever, whenever. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you can keep in touch with people, especially in other countries, I guess. But I don't know. I just love communing with people, you know. But I think, you know, nowadays though, there's a lot of kind of separation going on, which is saddening, I suppose, because obviously all the things going on in the world, vax versus no vax, you know, politics, religion, you name it, it's there for separation, and it gets people riled up, you know. It's crazy, really.
It is definitely crazy. So Brian Bowden from my chat room wants me to ask you, what role does the Anunnaki play in your world today?
What role do the Anunnaki play in my world today? They get ripped out of people's bodies. The thing about healing is this, if your vibration is low, these fourth dimensional beings, whether it's Anunnaki, whether it's Draconians, whether it's snake beings, whether it's Archons, which float through dimensions, they have no body, but they can attach to you, or whether it's Luciferians, which are connected to the Vatican, these things, when people feel low, they actually come in, they can attach to your body, and, you know, for example, the Anunnaki and Draconians sit in the abdomen, hang on the shoulders, so your shoulders are tight or neck's tight, abdomen's crashed, so, you know, it's bloaty because from the end of the rib cage down, your intestines are paralyzed, and so when you eat, as it gets further down, it backs up, it ferments at the wrong place, you get, you know, leaky gut, you can get diverticulitis, or you just can't digest stuff, you know, and it also taps in the lower back, damages L4, L5 discs, that's why so many people have got lower back issues, and sends you negative thoughts, you know, so they're pretty destructive, and so the role that they're playing is really by me, you know, we can extract them, escort them out and send them back to God with unconditional love and forgiveness, you know, and they're gone. And, you know, the amount of people I see with a first healing session, because we do one-to-one and specialized groups as well, almost, I would say 99% of people have got an attachment of some sort. And once you release some of that, they don't all feel different. You know, it's amazing. It changes the whole life.
Well, stop for a second. Almost everybody, 99% of people, you think?
Yeah, 99% of people. And don't forget, we work on, you know, thousands and thousands of people a week, and I would say 99% when they first come for a healing, they've got an attachment. But the other thing about healing is this, is think about this. If your vibration's low, if I do a healing and remove it and we give you some energy and everything else feel great, within 2 hours, the energy will subside and these things could reattach again until you get your body's vibration at the level that energy is, and it takes a little bit of work because, you know, we ingest hundreds of thousands of layers of emotion, and it's way too much for a human being. So it's important to release that, and we have a fast-track method of releasing that, basically where the Melchizedek beings go in, and they actually pull layers out. So they can do 81, 162, 324. It's a lot to release in one go, but it's a fast-track method, and by releasing that emotion, people feel better and they feel stronger, and until they get to that high vibrational place where they're leaping out of bed and going, oh my God, I feel incredible. That's to me, is the key of healing.
So I'm going
to
ask...
Go ahead. You kind of have to say a protection prayer, or I prefer the word map of intent, to actually keep these things out whilst you're going through that process. You know, if not, they'll just reattach and drop your vibration again, so... The prayers or maps of intent that we have on the website are Melchizedek prayers. They're very important, I think, for protection.
So I was going to ask, since the majority of people have one. Is it important to identify it before they try to heal from it, or does it matter?
No, I don't think it matters. I mean, you know, as long as you remove it, it doesn't matter. I mean, normally you tend to find they actually attach when you've had a high trauma thing, like maybe your dad dies, mum dies, or you get divorced, or something really bad happens when you're 15. You know, abuse, whatever it is, they tend to attach when that happens because of the high impact of the emotion you've ingested.
Okay, I'm processing here, so I'm glad you stopped for a second. Now, you got an email that told you that I'm normally into the paranormal end of the things on the show, so of course there's a lot of ghost hunters out listening to my show tonight, and they're sitting there thinking, well, I'll be the guy that brings it up, you know, that they like to throw around the word demon and bringing one home all the time. Of course, it sounds, based off what you said, they've already probably got something, and then they're going to layer that up. So that they need to extra protect themselves?
Oh, yeah, they need to extra protect. I mean, the demons, if you look at Jesus' teachings, I'm not a Christian, but, you know, I believe in what God many paths, and, you know, but I love Jesus' teachings because all he taught was unconditional love and helping people and things like that. But he talked about demonic entities. All these things, if they're manipulating you, they're demonic entities. But I think the word demon really came from the Luciferians because when they're in your body, they're very snarly. They can contort your body. They can speak through your voice box in a raspy voice. So I think that's more where the demonic, you know, entity came from. The Anunnaki are fairly tranquil. They'll just attach you and just manipulate you, send you negative thoughts, but then they're not really contorting your body. Draconians are very dark. If you get a Draconian attached to you, people can actually go as far as committed suicide because they're overpowering. So it's just important to understand their role and getting rid of them pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, that definitely doesn't sound like anything you want around you or part of your life. Good grief.
No. I think the problem is people don't realize it. They just walk around with these things attached to them, and, you know, they wonder why they feel depressed, and they get worse and worse bit by bit, you know. So I think the healing goes a long way of turning people's lives around.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got to. I mean, obviously, if you're doing thousands of them a week, I mean, somebody's got to be doing something, right? Just saying.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm kind of committed to it, you know. I just want to help as many people as possible because on this planet right now, we need as much help as possible of people who are in that warrior mode who are going to do things for humanity, you know. I think that's really important. Like I say, the days of the guru and all this sort of nonsense is gone.
Well,
you are your own guru.
We need it to be gone. There's too many of out there that are borderline some of these things we're talking about.
Yeah, like, you know, cults and things like this, absolutely. And I've seen, you know, people get, you know, kind of caught up with, you know, Indian gurus where it becomes a cult, and you can't leave, otherwise you could have a cursed life the rest of your life and all this thing. Are you kidding? You know, but they can, you know, curses are just negative energy sent to people, and it affects them. So very important to, probably get away from all that now and, like I say, get back to that high vibrational, you know, warrior self. And that's, you know, that's one of the biggest things we're doing. We do other stuff as well. So,
well, go ahead, tell me a little bit more. I'm listening. I'm interested. What else do you do?
Well, I also work with the Galactic Federation. I get taken there periodically. They normally give you 5 minutes warning, but a lot of the time they just take your soul out of your body, so you're kind of not indoors. So I remember one day when they took us out straight away, and I was collapsed on the floor. My wife goes, "Oh my God, he's had a stroke!" And oh no, he's gone to the Galactic Federation again, because I chair it with two other Melchizedek beings. And it's there to actually police time space. It's there to look at violations of the human race as opposed to education. And if you think about it, what's the difference between violation and education? So if you take an example, you know, when you come down here, you know that there's entity attachments and all these things, and you come down here, you get an attachment, then, you know, you get rid of it. It's an education that, how do we keep them out? Well, okay, protection prayers and get your vibration up. to me, because you were pre-warned about this before you come down here, it's an education. But if Azita Gray goes and abducts you, paralyzes you, abducts you, and steals your sperm or your eggs to create humanoids, that is a violation. And it was agreed, I think it was 3 years ago, in June 3rd or something like that. I don't have the exact date, but they were actually swept off the planet by the Actorians. We work very closely with the Actorians.
Yeah, that's a lot to process there.
So, oh, there's more than that.
So you just, how long were you gone?
Well, it depends. I mean, it's normally between 10 and 15 minutes, but don't forget where you go. There's no time, so you can be there like 4 days.
Yeah,
you
know, no, I was thinking back about your poor wife, though, that, you know, was sitting there.
Oh, yeah,
you.
But oh, my God, what's going on? He's dying. No, he's not. But she suddenly realized, I mean, she knows, you know, she knows me and knows my roles with things. So about 10, 15 minutes, something like that.
Yeah, I get once you're in space, time changes, but, I mean, there are real world consequences at the same point that just. That had to have been a weird conversation the first time that you came back.
Sorry, tell us again.
It has to have been a weird conversation the first time you came back from being gone.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I was lying. I mean, normally they give you 5 minutes, so 5 minutes warning, right, let's lay on the bed, let's stay in a comfortable position, and poof, gone. You know, and then when you come back, you're just laying on the bed, you know. Yeah, we talked about this, we talked about that. But this time, for some reason, they wanted me quickly, you know. Most of the time, some of the time I remember, some of the time they take it away from me because they don't want people to try and read the current mind. It's obviously in the subconscious, but not in the current mind. It just depends because, of course, they've got all sorts of technology they can read your mind nowadays, which is nuts, you know. But it's what it is.
As I say, it scares me to think that we're going to get to that point sometime where people can read your mind. We'll all be in trouble.
Yeah, well, I can read minds. But another gift that you think, oh, and I don't tend to read it unless it's for healing. You know, I don't tend to violate people's space. It's not fair, you know. So only sometimes if I need to look at something, I'll try and read their mind. If it's in the, you know, if it's in the conscious, the subconscious, sometimes it's difficult to find it. But, you know, it does help for healing. But the other thing we're working on is we have a big, big project, really big project. What's that? Well, it's building some off-planet pyramids, pretty big, you know. The biggest one is 999.999 feet tall, and then 666.666 feet tall, and 333.33 feet tall, you know. They're like the Giza ones. The Giza ones were built by the Palladians, but these are going to be built, well, are being built right now. They've done two of them already by the Actorians. But they're going to be placed somewhere in America. I can't obviously say where because we really don't want people to know. And they're going to be put on the golden curve with the last one on the ley line to blow out all the satanic manipulation in the ley line. So they will be coming at the right time. Probably not yet. Probably not a good idea to place them down here yet because, of course, the current administration probably wouldn't like them very much. But once this is all changed, they're going to be down quite quickly. But it's a pretty big project. It's going to be about 100,000 acres we've got to get hold of. And so, again, you know, God lines the money up. Do I have that sort of money? Absolutely not. But it'll divinely align when the time's right.
Well, okay, you mentioned that this administration wouldn't be too keen on that, of course. I'm sitting here wondering if any administration would be keen on that.
Well, I think when the world shifts, I mean, I think, yeah, probably not. But I think, you know, the thing is about, you know, people keep saying, oh, you know, someone's a savior and this, that, and the other when they come back. And I'm kind of thinking the only savior we have is the people, you know. I really believe in the people as they wake up, you know, and come together. This whole world should change, you know. Hopefully the whole governmental system will change and everything else. Hear lots of stories about QFS and this, that, and the other, but I think it needs a big shift, and I think it's really got to be for the people, you know. The people are the only people who are going to save this planet.
I was going to say, I think if the something from space intervened and did what you said, I think our perception of reality would take a big shift, that we aren't the only things, and I think we would have to come together to try to be together against whatever. Now, I'm not saying they're bad, I'm just saying that...
Well, oh, yeah, you know, and I think the Pyramid Project really is critical timing to... You know, if pyramids just drop out of the sky and just appear one morning, you know, then that's going to wake people up and think, wow, there is a prime creator or something out there that's really helping us. Because these things are there to help us. They're not, you know, there to hinder us. It's to help raise the vibration of the planet. One of the biggest things on this planet is that people think it's all the deep state people and the reptilian hybrids and whatever. You know, it's not. It's actually the reptilians underneath the planet that's the problem. The hybrids are just... brought up on top to manipulate. Below is the real masters, you know. And the Pyramid Project will help eradicate them from the planet because it will raise its vibration and they'll have to leave because they can't live in a high vibrational place. It's like with Bill Gates, you know, and people like that. They want to basically block out the sun by spewing lots of stuff in the air. I know we have chemtrails at the moment, Morgellons particles, you know, beryllium, it, everything else, but we can talk about that in a minute, but they want to put try and shield the sun. It'll reduce plant life. Things about reptilians, they don't breathe a higher level of oxygen. So they want to actually come up on the planet, but they can't because the oxygen's too high. So these, what we call kind of, you know, reptilian hybrids or whatever you want to call them, who are, you know, in the deep state governmental system, are trying to alter, you know, that out here, you know, so there's quite a bit going on, really. So it's nuts if you think about it.
Well, I was going to say, it is. So I'm thinking, sitting here thinking, I'm thinking about, like, Elon Musk and his SpaceX and, what's his name, Jeff Bezos and whatever he's trying to do, and everybody's trying to get to space. Is that part of this, or is this totally something the other direction?
Well, I think they're trying to colonize Mars, but, I mean, they've got jump sites to Mars anyway, you know. I think the SpaceX thing is just, to me, a distraction. You don't need a spaceship to go to Mars. They have the technology to switch you in time-space. So, and there's jump sites in New York, you know, where they can actually switch you in time-space and you could be there in an instant. They've had this technology for a long time. You know, of course, anti-gravitational and everything else. So,
wait, well,
I think...
people could go to Mars instantly and I have to drive to Walmart? I'm not sure how this...
Well, it's kind of a transporter type system. It's a bit like, you know, if you look at Spock and all those, you know, from their time. Of course, it's high technology. You know, there's real high technology. The reason why the Greys gave us technology like that is because they wanted to steal eggs and sperm because they destroyed their own planet. So one of the... one of the things we got out of the whole deal is actually technology. You know, look at the nanoparticles that they're coming up with now. I deal with Morgellons disease a lot. We actually heal it, which is amazing. But the Morgellons particles are, of course, 10 to the minus 9 small. The new ones are graphene oxide tubes. And what they do is they put CMOS chips inside them, which is 0.1 of a nanometer size. They put several of them so they can transmit and receive frequencies. So how do they make these things? They're so small. And the answer is it's the gray technology. You know?
Yeah, I was going to say, even the technology is... Where is it at? It's on my desk here somewhere. Holding up my phone, right? It's ridiculous. It's an, yeah. You know, 20 years ago, that would have been a desktop computer. Now it's, you know, in my hand and goes everywhere with me. And there's no wires most of the time.
Well, it's true, and, you know, if you look at the progress, you know, in 1986, I'm giving my age away now, but I was at university, Cranfield Institute of Technology, which is quite well known for aeronautics and things like that, and I remember having this computer. It was 80, it wasn't even megabyte, it was bytes, I think it was 80 bytes, and the hard drive was huge, it was like a big fridge, you know, and you switch it on, and we had a VAX. I don't even remember VAX computers, maybe you don't, but with digital. We had a huge VAX, again, a huge, like, you know, filing cabinet-sized computer, and it would analyze stuff. You know, now you look at the computers, and they're just way beyond that. So from 1986 to now, there's such a short time. How can we ever develop that sort of technology without being given it? And the answer is we couldn't, you know. So certainly something's been in you know, intervened to give us that technology.
So there has been some drips of UFO disclosure in the last couple of years, more so. I mean, there have been people saying it's coming for the last decade. But it seems there's been a few more. The government's kind of come out, well, our government's kind, the U.S. government's kind of come out and said, well, maybe, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So I'm running parallel tracks here from them showing up to us actually finally finding out the truth. And I'm trying to figure out which train's going to win. Is it going to be them telling us or we just finding out the hard way?
It's difficult to tell, actually. I mean, I think there's a massive precipice coming, you know. The thing is about disclosure and the thing is about understanding how manipulated things are is you've got to get people to a precipice, and I think it's coming fairly soon, you know. We're getting to a precipice. A lot of people, when people say wake it up, I'm talking about wake it up to understanding that there's something going on, you know. It's a start, you know, but I think disclosure, I don't think the alien beings, personally, the good guys, you know, Palladians, Actorians, Sumerians, Atlantarians, Lumerians, I think, you know, Andromedans, these guys, I don't think would appear unless there was a problem, unless we needed real help, you know. But I think, you know, who knows how they're going to do disclosure. The bad guys could actually do disclosure and try and manipulate. It's difficult to tell because the timelines... People often ask me because I can see, you know, what's going to happen in the future, but the timelines, you know, the humanity timeline, the general timeline we're on is changing that quick. You know, people often ask, well, you know, is Trump going to do this next week? Well, you can't say that because you could say it now, like, oh yeah, Trump will be doing something on Wednesday, but you know, in 4 minutes' time, that can change because there's so many variables of the chess game. You know, it's impossible to predict.
Yeah, I was going to say. I could tell you that I'm going to host a show next week, and then I'll get sick and not be here.
Well, exactly, yeah. So, you know, you can't predict anything right now. You know, I look at the timelines and look at variables and ifs and maybes, but they're changing so quickly. The chess game is so huge, you know. It's not just one chessboard. It's probably 3,500 chessboards with so many chess members, and, you know, it's changing rapidly, so... That's why I never predict anything, because you can't.
So, but the good news is we're going to be around for a while, right? I mean, you don't. You could see him next week, right?
Let's have a look. Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh no, I see. I think it's going to be an amazing journey. I don't think it's going to be an easy one because everyone just wants a savior. You know, it doesn't work like that. I think, you know, the reason why nothing's happened yet. Well. There's things happening behind the scenes, but not, you know, to the general public, is because they've got to really wake up and become aware and start understanding that, you know, the manipulation level has got so huge that there's nothing not manipulated. You know, you're a slave of the corporate systems throughout the world. And I think, you know, until people realize that, and of course then there's a huge grieving pressure. Well, that can't be right, you know. Well, yeah, you know. So I think... Things are changing. I think we're getting there.
Okay, so you mentioned this earlier, and I have to come back to it because it's something I've tried for, well, I told you I've been doing this show for almost 11 years, so 10 years to do, and I can't do it. So maybe you have the magic secret. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. I struggle to meditate because every time I sit down to kind of try to, right? You see where I'm headed, don't you? You see,
Jim,
you can see the future
of
this question. I'm just going to shut up and let you answer it.
Yeah. How many times do I hear it? It's funny because people often say, well, you know, which meditation shall I use? I said, none. Well, you need a meditation. No, you don't. To me, you know, meditation is letting your mind go. And it actually requires training, you know, because just to lie there and think about nothing and let your mind go. And it took me a while to get used to doing that because if you're listening to a guided meditation or music, you're focusing on the music and everything else, you just need it absolutely nothing. I mean, you can have some quiet music in the background, but to me, nothing, you know, just let your mind go. Look, stare into space, you know, it's better in a darker room because, you know, you can really stare through the darkness. You can actually see the vibration of the planet better, you know, when it's darker than when it's lighter. But to me, it's about letting your mind go, and it takes quite a bit of training, you know, because, of course, you're lying there, oh, God, I forgot, I've got to go shopping, or I've got to do something, you know, and to let your mind go. And that's why I think I was very blessed when I went bankrupt. It might sound crazy, but it really was. What a blessing, because I had no responsibility, no money to worry about because I had none, and I could just lie there and really let my mind go. Okay, right, I'm here, guys. And it just requires, you know, it just requires quite a lot of kind of training, really. Just keep letting your mind go. And if you start focusing on something, right, focus on, okay, guys, focus on your starseed family. Because the thing about starseeds is we were born here to do some things down here because, of course, this planet is in a third dimensional world where it's all about free will. So the even prime creator, Melchizedek beings, all the good guys can't interfere without somebody down here saying, hey guys, we need some help, got to come down here and help, because they can't interfere. So that's part of the journey of the starseeds. That's why people, you know, they call them crystal children, whatever. But, you know, they're starseeds, and they've been born down here to do some stuff, you know. And of course, because the deep state and the reptilian creatures and all these people know who they are, they get attacked relentlessly. And that's why a lot of starseed people are depressed, because they've been attacked. You know, it's crazy.
So train my mind. Full disclosure, right? Hey, we're going to get that tonight. Listen to that. Full disclosure. Oh, wait, not about the UFO stuff. About my meditation habits.
Yeah, my meditation.
Calm down. Don't call the New York Times yet. No, it was not. Just handed a bunch of stuff from the Pentagon. Unfortunately. I started with a notepad and just, you know, because like you said, you start thinking about, oh, I need to shop. I need to do this, that, and the other. So I just started sitting down with a notepad and just writing that stuff so I could be like, oh, it's good. I got it, right? I don't have to worry about it anymore. It's over there.
Yeah.
So that's a good first step, well, right?
It's a good first step, yeah. Write them down. Get them off your mind so you don't forget them. Because, you know, sometimes if you... I mean, I've got OCD. I think it's probably because I was semi-homeless for about a couple of years. So, you know, you get OCD with it. Or have I got enough pantaloons for the week or whatever, you know. And, you know, but I learned very quickly that nothing matters. The biggest thing to me is kind of surrender, knowing God's got your back. You just don't have to worry about anything. The biggest thing fear with people is money, you know. It's always about money. Oh, I haven't got enough. And I said, well, if you keep telling them you haven't got enough, they'll just keep not writing you a check because, you know, you haven't got enough. That's what you're manifesting. And I've seen some extraordinary things happen. We wrote a book on manifesting an abundant life. And truly, it's just about surrendering. Like you say, letting your mind go, surrendering. God's got my back. Don't have to worry about money. And that's what I do with the ministry, you know. The ministry is very successful. You know, I'm not a billionaire by any means or anything else, but it's very successful. We've got 10 staff. It does work every day. You know, I sub everything out. So, you know, I'm trained in computers. Do I want to fix my own computers? That'd be a nope. So I get Dan. You know, I'm not interested because, you know, Dan, the computer guy, comes in and says, oh, yeah, I've seen this problem with Windows before. Oh, it's a workaround. We'll fix that. Well, you know, if I did it, I'd have to go and research on Google. Okay, there's a problem here. Let's see what people say about it. I'm not interested in that. You know, I just want to do healings. The accountant, we pay her $17,000 a year. She does all the accounts. I don't do anything. You know, she does the reconciliations and all, you know, because we're a non-for-profit, we have to do an IRS form, which is 97 pages about blah, blah, blah. She does all that as well, you know, because I don't want to do it, you know, because it frustrates me. I just want to focus on the healing and really enjoy what you do. And that's the key, I think, to success with your gifts. You know what your gift is and know what you don't enjoy, and don't do the things you don't enjoy, you know. And know you've got the money, God's blessing you with doing your gifts, that you can afford to pay other people to do those things, you know.
So I feel I need to tell you the story. I don't know why. So I'm just going to tell you the story, and you're just going to have to, you'll understand, but it doesn't necessarily fit, but it does. It's about intention. A couple years ago, I kept telling people, I'm going to keep going until the well runs dry, right? Just going to keep going. Just kept flippantly saying it, keep saying it, right? And then about 6 months into that experience of keep saying that, guess what happened? I needed a new well pump. $500 later, the well ran dry. Right? Be very careful what you say, because sometimes, right?
It's very true, actually. Yeah, you manifest your own reality, you know. I mean, some of the people have got the protocol. We've got a protocol which gets rid of the nano. Well, it actually gets rid of Brilliolime, HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange, Morgellons, and anything to do with the nanotechnology and the needly thing. It strips it out of the body using timeline splitting. And one lady said, well, I can't afford to come on it. You know, I said, well, you've just told God you can't afford it, so you're not going to come on it. I said, why don't you turn that around and say, wow, I've done it. The money's there. Thank you, God. And really focus on it. Do you know, within a day, some lady walked in with a check and said, I want you to do that protocol, and gave her a check. And she was just absolutely blown away. And it's happened. I mean, I've worked on about 400 people with this protocol over the last 2 years. It's a 20-week program. It's a lot of work. But, you know, there's been several people in that place. I said, well, look, if you want to really come on it, just come on it. I know that it's going to happen. And by goodness, it happened. So you're right. You know, intent is everything. Setting your intent. It's like with the ministry. I don't worry about money. I don't even count the bank out. I just know that the money's always there. God's got my back. And it's very successful, you know. As soon as you think, oh, how are we going to pay the bill? Oh, well, I was just about to give you a check, but let's rip it up because you're not believing you can pay the bill. It's amazing. It's such a fine-tuned instrument, this universe. It really is.
So I feel like I'm forgetting something obvious. I mean, we kind of skimmed over. You have some books out. Maybe you want to talk about those for a couple minutes here before we run out of time.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one on History, Truth, or Healing of Manufactured Diseases, and it's HIV/AIDS, Agent Orange, Morgellons, and Lyme. Might be worth looking at that. It talks about the Greys and the paperclip project, you know, how all this technology came over. It talks about the nanotechnology nanospheres, where you can load up to 96 viruses in a nanosphere. The nanotubes, of course, which are, you know, in these things, needly things, they transmit and receive frequencies at gigahertz frequencies. It talks about all that stuff. We've also got, you know, Dissolving the Enigma of Divine Healing, which talks about the techniques of healing and, you know, what we work on. We work on everything. There's not anything we can't work on. So that's pretty interesting. Divine Transcendence talks about the manipulation of the world. There's obviously Center of the Mind, talking about getting back to a stronger place, and it gives you, you know, techniques about looking at getting you into really, I mean, if you look at this world over the last 2 years, it's been nuts, and I've really encouraged people to look at the things they really enjoy at home. You know, I think people have stopped going out a lot because they just don't want, you know, so they stay at home and do some cooking or, you know, have a glass of wine, it's okay. I've had spiritual people say, well, I don't drink, don't smoke, don't have sex, don't, well, what do you do? You know, this world's nuts. You need to do something and enjoy yourself. It's really important. And, you know, doing a bit of cooking with a glass of wine with your loved ones and, you know, communing with your loved ones within your circle, and make sure that, you know, you don't let people who are going to be berating you or projecting on you in your circle. Otherwise, you're going to get exhausted. And we do that all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mentioned Brian Bowden earlier, and he has a commitment to do more creative things this year, which I'm holding him to right now because I don't know if he's done anything or not. But I agree that we need to do more things besides just play Candy Crush. I was trying to think of a phone game. I almost drew a total blank. That was bad. I tell you, I don't play that many. I play try to get blocked on Twitter, but that's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're not on Twitter. Well, we are on Twitter, but I don't use it much. We tend to use, you know, Facebook, YouTube, and Telegram, you know. That's about it. But I think the other thing about it is, as well, just try and commune with people, you know. You've got to really watch, you know, in my opinion, you've got to really watch these channels like YouTube, like Google, like Facebook, because they're reptilian born, and the energy, the things about reptilian energy, it's really addictive. And so, you know, you get addicted to watching things, and you can just watch them 24/7. You lose contact really with your family if you're not careful. So, and also, you can get misinformation. One of the things about reptilians is this, is that they tend to give you misinformation. So they'll tell you three truths and one lie. And I find a lot of channelers are channeling like reptilian. And, of course, they're channeling the good things. Oh, wow, that's amazing. And then suddenly they'll take a huge lie like, oh, Jim, you're supposed to be going to buy that house with the yellow roof and the pink doors in France. And you're kind of like, oh. Well, the other things were right. I guess they must be right, and they're not, you know. But so it's really important to, you know, when people, you know, I always encourage people, use your discernment and see, does this resonate with me? If it doesn't, don't listen to it. If it does, then, you know, resonate with it and listen to it. It's very important. Discernment is becoming the key, I think, nowadays.
So help me out here. How can I spot that reptilian energy that I need to stay away from?
You can feel it. It kind of feels off, you know. If you're listening to a channel and it's got reptilian energy about it, it feels off, like, no, this is not resonating, and there's something about it. I don't want to listen to it anymore. And it's even the same with films. Some films don't resonate with me, and some do, you know. But a lot of them have got reptilian energy because they've been, you know, they've been produced in certain, you know, certain places like Universal Studios, wherever, and then. Of course, there's a Masonic lodge at the back where they do like a ritual to send, you know, Luciferian energy or reptilian energy to people when they start playing it. So just important to be discerning. We do have, again, maps of intent or prayers to actually remove this energy when you're listening to something. And that really helps as well.
And they're on the website, you said?
Yeah, the website, globalalignmentproject.com. You know, you've got a whole thing of prayers, and it really helps.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. It sometimes you get that feel. I mean, I definitely have had that feeling with some people that they're just, how do I say this nicely? Not right.
I thought you were going to say follow shit. But
hey, you said it, not me. No, for the record.
No, I didn't say it.
The guest said it.
It was a McKeel's that beings now. There's not. Yeah. But it's true, you know. Oh, this does not resonate. This is a pile of nonsense. And you know, just switch it off and don't listen to it, because you know, all you're going to do is get yourself. You're going to, you know, get that negative energy. You know, listen to people who really resonate. Like, wow, this is great. You know, I love it. Then you know that you get in there. Discernment is everything, especially in this world. It's crazy.
So, I know you don't not doing predictions, but in the next year, I don't want to put a time frame on it, but I have to ask the question: are things going to settle or get worse?
I think the next few months things are going to go pretty bad. I think after 6-8 months, I think things are going to start turning around. You'll start seeing everything lighten up. I think administration is going to break down. Different things are going to happen. You know, the domino effect has started, and you know, even in England, I mean, things are, you know, being reported like. They're now taking cases of murder if you die of the vaccine within two, three days, whatever. They've done reports. I mean, you know, we know what's in this stuff. I work with a world-leading toxicologist and a top virologist, and we look at this stuff, check it in the electron microscopes. You know, the toxicologist has been working with Morgellons particles for 40 years, and they used to use satellites to transmit the frequencies. Now they've got 5G, so I think... I think over the next 6 to 8 months, there's going to be a massive shift, you know. I think it's for the good, but, of course, shifts always create, you know, unrest and tumultuous things, and it's going to be interesting.
Yeah,
but I think it's for the better.
I'm familiar with that Mercury retrograde. See, it's there. Doesn't even want me to talk about it.
Absolutely. Well, it's going to be for the good, you know. It's just... sometimes you don't think it's that good when it's actually happening. It's like going bankrupt. I remember I went bankrupt and I was in that apartment. I only had 4 weeks there, of course, and I was sitting there. Okay, God, this is not funny. I said, I've worked for 21 years. I've earned hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pounds. And here I am, ended up with two Walmart bags. Actually, it's Tesco's in England, but anyway, it's the same thing. Two Walmart bags with a couple of shirts, two pairs of pantaloons, and that's it. And I don't get it. Now, I remember him specifically saying, well, it's the right time. What do you mean it's the right time? You know, it's the right time, you'll see. And I did see. It just took me a while.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
As I say, that's the hardest part when you're in the battle. I think you used warrior a couple times in there. When you're in the battle to see the reality of what becomes.
Oh yeah, it's sometimes you can't see the wood for the trees, and you know when a helicopter lifts you up over the trees. Oh right, I get it now. And my life's never been better, honestly, Jim. When I was in corporate systems, I thought, God, you've got to be kidding. I used to look at the people on the board of Philips and the Marconis and different places I worked, thinking, you have to be kidding. But, and you know, because all they do is play golf and stuff, you know, and you're doing all the work, and I think, well, you know, some got to be something better than this. I kept thinking all the time, got to be more than this, you know, and there is. I'm doing it. And, you know, and I think following your passion, it gives you great passion to do things in the world, and it gets you excited. It gives you energy, you know, and it gives you a purpose. Everyone needs a purpose in this world, you know. Yes. Otherwise, you just, if you have no purpose, then what happens? You know, you kind of fizzle away.
So we've got just a couple minutes left. So tell me about the healings again, and make sure you get the website out there, because that's...
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, for anything like Lyme, HIV, AIDS, Agent Orange, Morgellons, and the needy thing, we have the protocol, 20-week program. I do one-to-one sessions on Monday and Tuesday. We've got about 20 people on those. We do specialized groups, which are slightly cheaper. We offer up to 20 people on them. We speak to everyone first, do the healing after. And then, of course, we've got the generic groups where anyone can join. Just go to the website, sign up, and buy a donation. If you have no money, don't shame yourself. Please come on, because and that's Monday, 9 o'clock Central Time, Thursday, 5 p.m. Central Time, and Saturday, 11 a.m. Central Time. And, of course, we've got loads of meditations and things as well, and books.
And that's globalenlightenmentproject.com.
Yeah, globalenlightenmentproject.com. Yeah, absolutely.
So I like to end these with some rapid-fire, kind of, I don't want to say funny questions, but, of course, based off the interview, they are funny because they have nothing to do with anything else. Just because, you know, when you get short for time, you just like to have a little clean break. So what's your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast, biscuits and gravy. I love it.
I thought we were making you American. You got to have some bacon in there somewhere.
Well, actually, I don't mind English breakfast, but I actually prefer biscuits and gravy. I think it's wonderful, especially if it's homemade.
So what's your go-to American dish then?
Probably spare ribs.
Ooh, okay, that's good. I was going to be disappointed. I thought you were going to go barbecue something, but you know.
Well, barbecue ribs, yeah. They're quite nice.
Besides your books, what's your favorite book?
You know, I don't have one because I don't read.
Oh, that's right. Totally botched that one up, because I do remember you saying that now.
Yeah, my wife reads to me, but I don't have any, to be honest. I tend to channel more. I get all information from channeling from the accused beings.
That's what happens when I go with... See, I told you to have many notes, but then I looked over here and I went to the pre-flabbed questions because I just wanted to make sure I got something. Well, Chris, it's been enlightening for sure tonight, and I thank you for jumping on with us.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jim. Bless your heart. I hope you enjoyed it. Bless you.
I have. Thank
you. Maybe we'll do it again.
Sound
bless your heart.
Have a good night. And there you go. There's Chris McCain there on the Mallard Report. I hope you all took something from tonight's show. And, yeah, I think we're going to have some fun and do some more next week, pretty soon.
It's the Mallard Report.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a good show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Take a few moments, subscribe, share, all the fun stuff. You know how to do it. I don't have to tell you. Just be ready for next week. It'll be sooner than you think.
Pit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.